You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show, Mark.
Glad to be here, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Mark, how would you describe what's going on the stock markets right now?
Well, they're in the stratosphere. You got the S&P well up there around 7,400. And about 8-9 months ago, I had mentioned that was a possible target, though I thought it might have been achieved sometime in 2025. But, this is definitely a target zone among many. You know, you can come up with all kinds of numbers. So, I think the market's in the stratosphere here. It is dangerous. I'm still in that sell may, go away mentality, and it has not been correct in terms of the S&P, though. You know, if you look at many, many stocks, there's been a lot of underperformers here, you know, in the last few days as we entered the new month. So it's really been volatile. In fact, today, Thursday, Dow was down quite a bit, and it seems to be finding some resistance again at that 50,000 level. So it's a tough market if you're looking for value and you don't like chasing stocks, and you're not only buying Mag 7 stocks or software stocks or chip stocks and so forth, which is where the action has been. So there's plenty of action if you're trading, and there have been some nice moves, and even the big market leader Nvidia was able to move to new highs. We were short that for a while. We actually made money on the downside, but got out when it looked like it was reversing. So, you got to be in the right stock. There's a handful of big tradable stocks out there. But for the most part, the market just looks way overvalued to me, and we're playing it relatively close to the vest. We had a little bounce this week in silver and gold shares, and we'll see if that follows through. And, outside of that, it's been sort of neutral to slightly higher in the crypto market. Bitcoin was able to move again over that 80,000 level and showing, you know, it's getting a little frothy here. I think this is sort of a technical resistance level now. If you're a long-term bull, you have to be aware that maybe this is the possible end to a bear bounce in at least Bitcoin. So it's going to have to really prove itself here. And big picture, it's probably okay. There could be some risks in that market. So I'm just pretty much taking it a day at a time here, but relatively cautious and more or less employing guerrilla tactics here with the market. I'm just a little nervous this time of year.
What's going on with crude?
Well, you know, it's so much tied to the Iranian story. And one day it's down big, then it's up big. It was weak again today. It doesn't seem like a deal is being made there. But as I mentioned last week, you know, with what's happened in the Mideast, there's still going to be strong demand for crude. I mean, a lot of the emergency supplies were exhausted. A lot of refineries were damaged, particularly not necessarily in this part of the world. We've been lucky here in the Western Hemisphere, but particularly since we're getting a lot of oil, at least the U.S. is getting it out of Venezuela, which is the largest oil reserve, which was fortunate for us. But in any event, I think there's still going to be demand for it because the need to replenish reserves, and the world still runs on crude oil. And, it was an asset I thought for a long time that was way underpriced, and it was due for a rally. So some of the oil stocks are still good plays, I think. You know, many pay good dividends, and, you know, you got to pick your entry point. But as far as crude is concerned, you know, the mentality is that it should pull back as things settle down, but I still think there's going to be a lot of business done because of the need for it. So I don't think it's going to collapse. I don't think it's going back to $60 or anything like that. So I'm more of a bullish trader on the crude oil stocks and on oil. When they break big, I think they're tradable buys. I don't think it's all over, regardless what happens with Iran. So I still like the group.
What's going on with gold and silver?
Nice little technical bounce. Silver got up over $80, which was sort of nice. I think it got to about $82. And gold, you know, approached that 4,800 level. There's resistance, you know, just around here. And if we can get through that, next big target resistance, I guess, in gold is around that 5,000 level. And I would say just under 90 for silver. So we have to watch it. You know, a lot of the sell-off in silver and gold were related, I think, to, you know, banking issues around the world where, you know, assets were being sold. And, you know, the old expression, you sell, you know, they sell the baby, throw the baby out with the bathwater type stuff. So I just think a lot of money was being raised by selling silver and gold when we had this Iranian crisis and just, you know, a lot of political upheaval everywhere. And I just think a lot of it had to do with profit taking. And a lot of it may have come from central bankers and so forth looking to, you know, Russia in particular and other places might have the. It's been rumored that they've been selling some gold to raise cash. So there could have been more of a government central bank type issue short term, but I don't think it was a fundamental change in direction. So I'm a bull. My models are still positive for the year, and I'm still thinking, you know, new highs are still possible in both this year and certainly beyond this year, you know, much higher. So if you're a trader, you got to watch the current resistance levels here and see if we can break through you know, the mid 80s in silver and over 5,000 in gold, see if we get some more action. But you know, we all have to keep in mind that we already had a big move this year, so you know, you can't be pounding the table on it the way we were in the last few years when it was so cheap. In any event, I still think there's more coming, and I think the shakeout we had recently was more of a short-term panic. So I'm holding the shares and the metal here, and I still think we can go higher and possibly see new highs this year.
What's the story with palladium and platinum?
You know, they're all tracking together, Jim. You know, look at all the metals. You know, they're all sort of tracking the metals, you know, this whole metal complex, I guess you could refer to it. So I still think you know, they were shaken out, but they're in demand for, you know, engineering and construction reasons and electronics and so forth. So I think copper is still, you know, bullish on the charts. A lot of the rare earth stocks and metals are still very much in demand, particularly with the expansion in the AI and the data centers and all the money being spent and the need for critical metals. So some of the critical metal or rare earth stocks are not at their highs, but they had a shakeout and now are coming back. You know, a lot depends on what happens with negotiations in China. You know, supposedly that meeting got delayed, and what's going to happen with the rare earths, and are we going to get more control over that sector or not? And things may not work out as well as we may hope, and as a result, demand for the rare earths and these shares could, you know, re-accelerate again. So we'll see if anything happens with the Chinese discussions, which were, as you know, delayed with the Mideast event. But the problem is so much money is being spent, you know, with some of the big players with regard to the data centers and energy demands and so forth, that, you know, a lot of demand for these metals and the materials still very much exists. Now, whether it's going to be profitable for these companies and they're going to get a return on their investment, I think Wall Street's starting to question that a little bit because of the pricing of some of these shares. But I'm still thinking the basic demand for the metals is there. And you got to, you know, use the big shakeouts to take advantage of, you know, but buying spots for your you know, your strategy. So I don't currently have palladium platinum on the list as a trade here. I probably should, but I still like them.
Could you see a day where people storm these AI data centers because so many have been laid off by artificial intelligence?
That's a wild scenario. Listen, we should have been storming a lot of other agencies for a lot of other reasons in the government before today. I don't know. It depends if you know, what the unemployment situation really comes down to. I mean, if some of the dire predictions about robots and AI taking over everybody's jobs, you know, that's, who knows what could happen down the road. But I have no answer for that. And there's so many other reasons that I think I would want to storm something than to worry about what the AI consequences are. We really don't know, you know, really what's really going to happen. You know, a lot of these data centers are still being built. Most of the objection is to the fact that they're being built and they're, you know, creating problems in local communities. And I think there's just too much money behind it, Jim. You know, there's too much governments behind it. Mega, you know, Mag 7 mega companies are putting billions and billions into it, and, you know, money talks, you know what I mean? So I think it's either so much money is behind it that I don't know if everybody took out their pitchforks and started attacking these facilities, whether that's really going to change very much. You know, the real effort, though, I think, is, you know, with the data centers is, and the increase of energy production, is that we would hope that overall energy costs come down and would benefit individuals. So initially it's going up now, and the long-term plan would be that wouldn't be the case, that there's a huge demand now, but those will be satisfied, and with the super energy being created, that would be a big positive for everyone. But, you know, this whole thing with AI and the data centers, you know, you start questioning what this is all about. You know, it seems like every few years the market runs into a little slump, and then suddenly something new jumps up, and that becomes the reason to take the market up. So, you know, you had all kinds of booms and busts along the way in the markets. If you remember, you know, 25 years ago with the creation of the dot-coms, and that became a super bubble, and everybody got excited about it, and every company had to change their name to a dot-com. And, you know, you get into these cycles where suddenly this becomes the hot, the new thing. So, you know, AI became the new fad, and you just wonder, you know, a lot of this stuff is being contrived, you know, just for the sake of making money too, you know. So many companies now have to re-characterize themselves that, oh, we employ AI, and AI is part of our business, just to make themselves look and sound credible. So it reminds me of the dot-com bubble, where every company was changing their name to dot-com just so they would conform with what's going on. So I'm a little, you know, I'm watching the stocks, and I can see the money being going into it, and I think their valuations are out of kilter here, way too expensive. The chip stocks are just nuts. When I look at a company like Taiwan Semiconductor, which has a huge plant operation here in Phoenix, they're still building it. I remember just a couple of years ago, I mean, they were looking at a $60, $70, $80 stock. And I said, boy, that looks like a good opportunity, because they're going to build this huge semiconductor plant here in Phoenix. Well, the stock's now over 400. So you wonder, is it over? I mean, is that enough already? I mean, we've already had a huge move. Have we discounted enough into the future or not? So in a way, that was sort of a mini bubble, you know what I mean? And we'll see how far that goes. And of course, everybody fell in love with NVIDIA. But, you know, the stock is around a little over $200 a share. And if you look at over the last 2, 3, 4 years, it's had a big move, but it's really sort of still near its highs. You know, it's not really exploding day to day the way it used to. So I'm just, you know, a little dubious about all the excitement here and the fact that we've perhaps, you know, already entered sort of a bubble type environment. And, you know, I'm not chasing any of these stocks here, and waiting for a shakeout at least. And if not, looking for the next hot sector, you know, for me, looking like cannabis stocks, for example, which are still cheap, you know, on a percentage basis, could have a nice run if we get some government cooperation on some of the legislation and so forth. Crypto is still a big area. You know, we're still waiting for the Clarity Act to be passed in Congress, and there's a lot of potential there in some of the crypto names, and many are cheap relative to where they've been. As I mentioned a few moments ago, metals still, I think, have more life in them. So, you know, I'm not a big proponent or buyer of the chip stocks or the software stocks or a lot of the hot players. Yes, you can trade them day to day, but, you know, the value is long gone. The semiconductor stocks, the semiconductor index sitting up, you look at the chart, it's like a parabolic advance when you look at the chart of it. I mean, you chase stuff up here and they pull the plug on you, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. So, you know, I like to buy them when they're down. And they've had a correction. Maybe they're showing signs of a turn back to the upside. So that's the kind of stuff that sort of excites me here at VR Trader. So when you have a big run up in gold and silver, then you get a big shakeout, and that shakeout becomes a buying opportunity. And when Bitcoin, you know, goes from 126,000 down to 60,000, you know, you take a look at that. So, cannabis way down, then the legislation changes or the rescheduling, you know, creates more life in that sector. So these kind of things that attract me more. Over the years, I've done better waiting for shakeouts in stocks and looking for buying opportunities. Another name, for example, the Disney company, Walt Disney. Look at the stock, you know, it was $125, $130. They took it all the way back down to $90. Now it's starting to come up here a little bit. It had a nice shakeout there, and that looked like a, you know, nice play. So, you know, a lot of those type of situations really, you know, garner my attention more than chasing chip stocks or AI stocks at these levels. Like I mentioned just a moment ago, Taiwan Semiconductor, yes, 2-3 years ago when it was $80, and now it's 400, you know, when it looked like it was coming off a bottom and things were expanding, it made sense. So it's a dangerous time if you're following these big names here. That's my opinion.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, anything happening in the uranium space?
Still very strong. You know, a lot of demand for the, you know, big names in particular, I guess with the leading names, the Canadian name, Cameco, CCJ, has been, you know, doing, you know, really well in the last, you know, few months. And we had a little bit of a shakeout, and it's, you know, just toying with its highs around the 120 level. Big demand in the generator space. The big company GE Vernova, it's correcting here a little bit, but you know, they manufacture generators both for natural gas but also for the nuclear industry, and that ran way up. I think getting up to almost $1,200 a share. I think not too many months back it was like $400 or $500 a share. So a lot of demand for it because of this, you know, data centers and energy demands, and, you know, the energy demands and the whole AI story, it ties in with uranium, you know, and the nuclear, because that seemed to be the answer to generating the energy. The truth, as we've learned, it takes time to get all these things up, and I'm surprised natural gas hasn't done better, because I think, you know, for many of these situations, that's going to be the best source of energy to run these operations until that time when the nuclear kicks in. Like anything else, you got to trade them. Nothing goes up forever, and they've already made big moves, but there's nothing that says that it's over yet. But I wouldn't be chasing Cameco at 120 when you could have bought it at 30 just a couple years back. It's almost like the Taiwan story. I just think a lot of these stocks are way up in the stratosphere. Not going to get the kind of returns now that you could have had if you had been smart enough to jump in these things in the last couple of years where they were coming off bottoms. But nothing to say that uranium is dead. I don't think that's the case, but it is the case of many of these individual companies. They've already had big moves, you know.
Anything on the geocosmic front we have to keep an eye on?
Yeah, well, just as we went off air, Space Weather's reporting a, they call it something, a flare, flare Y this way comes, they say, is an active sunspot hiding behind the sun's eastern limb, and it's about to turn toward the Earth. So you get what they call these M2 class solar flares, and that turns toward the Earth. We may get a little, you know, a little energy coming toward the planet, and we'll see what that's all about. So if you go to spaceweather.com and pull up the visual, you could actually see them show the sun and the flare and the fact that it might be pointing toward the Earth. So, you know, we always sit and worry and wonder about, is this going to be a big one? We've talked about this for several years, and usually it's not the case, but if it ever is, there's going to be some impact on our satellite systems and our, you know, electronics and so forth, and the thousands of satellites that we have circling the planet, and what impact that energy will have on them and our communication. So it's always interesting to talk about. And coming up in June, you know, we've got the summer solstice coming up around June 20th. So as we get closer to that point in time, I start looking about, you know, possible change of direction in the markets. And, you know, as we move through May, which I still think is dubious, you know, based on history, the potential risk of a little bit more of a shakeout could still unfold, though we've seen the indexes to new highs here. It's been, I think it's been more of a, you know, a manipulated type situation with a handful of high-tech stocks and so forth moving the market. In any event, come June, we have to see if that, that June 20th or so time frame impacts the market. So that's, when you asked about geocosmic, that's the only two things that ring a bell with me here at the moment.
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
My guest has been Mark Leibovitt, editor and publisher of the Leibovitt VR newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He was speaking to us from Arizona. If you have any questions for Mark or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. You can find us on X at How Street. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.